Okay, we continue in Sefer Bilvavi. We're on the bottom of page Resh Mem Aleph. We're discussing how one should not let suffering take away from the love that one has for Hashem. And the first aspect that's brought down is the idea that from what we see, we don't see the whole picture. And therefore, if we would have the whole picture, we'd understand how everything that Hashem does for us is for our best. And Tzaddik brought a story from the Chofetz Chaim, a few stories, and Mishalim, that all show that we only see one clip of the entire picture. But from that which is hidden, it could teach us on what is explicit, and that which is explicit teaches us on what's hidden. And God has a good enough track record, as it were, to show us that the times that he does explain things to us, it seems to make a lot of sense, so we assume that only others do as well. So just finishing up this topic, so right after the last story, the Chofetz Chaim waited years to see what would be the divine retribution to a person who had hurt an almana. So we continue on the bottom paragraph on Reish Mem Aleph. Yaser al Zos, more than that. Remember, we said that we don't get a very long view of things. And even the Chofetz Chaim, he was able to hold something like for 30 years. So even someone like the Chofetz Chaim, a unique person who could remember things for tens of years. Person is only apt at remembering that which he was transpired in his Gilgul now, in his lifetime now. And as the Rizal has told us long ago, that most of us are on retreads in terms of Gilguls. So, v'achashbonas mikol Gilgul mitstarfim, and the calculations of every transmigrated lifetime is combined to other lifetimes. And there's certain repairs that each and every Gilgul has to make here. It's impossible for us to understand the secret of God's conduct because we don't know what went on before we came into this world. Next page, Reish Mem Beis. So, when a person understands this point, Betzura Brura, in a very clear way, he understands one thing. The actions of Hashem are all good. But myself, but me, because of the constrained view, because of the limitations of time and place, I only see partial things. Therefore, I'm not able to see the goodness that comes in its ultimate perfection. Only part I see is the part of the suffering. I don't see how it fits into everything else and fixes things up. But since from certain specific things I'm able to see, and I heard in stories, how the overall picture combines into one thing and it reveals one structure that's complete of complete goodness. We've seen examples of that. That becomes the face of things as they occur in the entire creation. Memela, consequently, if a person has sufferings, whether it's in his body, his wealth, or just in his mind, in emotions. Love lahaka reishis kol b'machshava od lifnei hafnomas hadvarim shamaisa zehu atova gemura. Person has to recognize from the beginning of all thoughts, when you think about what's going on in your life, the first thing you have to think about even before you're going on a deeper level, that this action must be a total kindness. Olav lishtamish b'chol ha'mishom shizkarnu b'chol ha'yeda omer l'reshuso. Person has to make use of every parable that we've mentioned and every piece of knowledge that stands in his domain. But Lomer Lassa, and say to himself the following: Ani alamed min amafurish alasosum. I will learn from the explicit onto that which is hidden. What's happening to me is hidden. I don't understand why it's happening, but I've seen enough stories where it does make sense, so that's good enough for me. And when you receive and develop within yourself a broader viewpoint, you're able to see the goodness in every single thing in this world. This is the simplest point. It's so true. And we wish that Hashem would give us this level, if we all be on this level. But there's a deeper point. One who needs to use the deeper point, let him make use of the deeper point. Anyone who thinks it's beyond what you need, you can leave it on the side. If the first one we've just said is good enough for you, then that's fine. You don't have to use it. It's a deeper concept, and it's certainly one that's well worth using if you need it. Yeah.
I want to go back to something you said yesterday.
Yes, sir.
And I want to preface, I'm asking out of ignorance, not out of chutzpah.
Okay. I don't assume anybody has chutzpah in this class.
Now, as you made a comment about Yaakov Avinu, you said that nobody suffered in their life like Yaakov. So my question
You want to make a case for David HaMelech?
No, just even somebody in the Holocaust who saw all of his children killed in front of him and lost everything, like, you know, Yaakov.
That was the Holocaust was only 6 years. As bad as it was, 6 years. Yaakov's entire life until the last 17 years of his life was fraught. He told Paro, when he came to Paro, Paro said, "How old are you?" That's next week's parsha. What did he say? Oh, I'm not as old as I look. All the years have been suffering. And, you know, that's not hyperbole. 130 years of difficult suffering on this planet. Okay?
No, but let's say somebody on it. Like, I would assume, I might be incorrect, speaking for everybody, but the worst thing that you could possibly experience in your lifetime, at least one of the worst things would be to see your children die. We have several tzaddikim in the Talmud, you know, that this such a thing happened. In his case, he was, thank God, I mean, his, Yosef, he was separated, him was a terrible thing. It's not to minimize it, but I'm just saying his children lived. He saw his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. You know, he was, didn't live in poverty his whole life. I mean, it's true, he was.
There was a hunger. We thought there was a hunger for 9 years.
Yitzchak went through.
Abraham went through everything. Yaakov went through everything.
David
went through a lot.
Rebellions, your children.
He went through a lot. He went through a lot. But Yaakov is the Av of Golus. He is the patriarch to teach us how to live through Golus.
Okay, so he. Right?
Everybody says, "Well, he gave us the ability to persevere through it." We can't minimize the fact, number one, he was the first one to go through it.
Right.
Okay? You know, people went to the gas chambers, they said animamin, because they had 3,000 years of animamin to count on. Yaakov had 0 years of animamin to count on. We can't begin to understand how difficult it is when you go through a trail that's not been blazed before.
Okay, so that would
be the... more than that. He knew that if Yosef was not alive, that there'd be no hope for the Jewish people, and he would go eternally to damnation. That was his Kabbalah. So he lived for 22 years that way. Right? At 22 years. That's more than a Holocaust. You know, it's just physical death. Yaakov was going through a spiritual death, which was much worse. You know, living with Esau for 63 years was not a good situation in life. It was not a good situation in life. Living with Lavan for 20 years was not a good situation in life. Right? Living with his wife dying when she's very young, having to raise all those kids as a single dad, okay? The lack of nachas that he got from those children for all those years, his daughter being raped. I mean, you're not, it's one thing after another after another. If Yaakov himself says that I lived 130 years and they were all miserable, he isn't joking. He's not like an old Jew on Miami Beach caressing, oi, 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 let's stop talking about the kids. Okay? You know, he meant it. And he aged. He aged. And that, if Paro, the whole thing with Paro, why did Paro ask him how old he is? What is this? Why does the Torah say how old he was? He looked way, way older. And that's what Yaakov responded. And he said, it's been my tzaras that have made me age like this. Right? Only the last 17 years did he finally have a little bit of peace and quiet in his life. So, the question is, you're right, it's from ignorance. Because we would think, listen, as long as the kids came out okay, I'd be happy with such a life. None of us would be able to live how he lived through it. None of us, for a minute, would have stayed Jewish. Would have went off the derech, 100%. Would have gone off the... So, what's the big deal? You know, he was rich most of his life, and most of his kids were alive, and this and that. You think he suspected that his sons killed Yosef? I wonder how that would be. Just live for 22 years thinking your sons all got together and killed your favorite child. Now that's not a problem. You know, it's if Hitler does it, it's one thing. Your own children do it? You know, how'd you like it if your own children killed your children in front of your eyes in the Holocaust? Right? So that, and he understood how he lived figuring there'll be no future for the Jewish people. Absolutely no future. So that's beyond, we don't appreciate the spiritual challenges that he had. We live in a goyish society. We're not scared that the goyim are ripping us apart limb by limb. Anybody losing sleep over the fact that your Jewish brothers are dying spiritually every minute? It's not a big deal. As long as it's not a Holocaust, it's fine. Every day that Tom Schwartz is married to Gabriella McClelland, you know, it's not a big, I don't lose any sleep over it. It shows you how far away we are from understanding the perils that we are in. And it just doesn't bother us. We have nothing. We have no spiritual sensitivity. That's worse than Yaakov. At least knew what was going on. We don't even know what's going on. We don't see as bad. So, that's clear. Yaakov had no explanations. The tzaddikim had explanations in the Holocaust. They understood it was the Yad Hashem. And they understood and they expected it to come. And they weren't surprised when it came. Yaakov didn't have any Rambams to go back to draw forth from. And we failed to realize that's the real godless of the others that we just don't... We can't fathom.
We take it for granted.
We take it so for granted. Yeah.
Just to add to this, because I think we've said before that when someone passes away, God forbid, Hashem heals. And with Yosef, there was no healing.
Hashem didn't heal him for 22 years.
That's sort of almost worse than the loss, because he suffered.
He had to deal with juvenile children that didn't listen to him. It's like, if you look at these parshas, it looks like he's losing grip. What's going on? It's like he did all this, and my kids are a bunch of buffoons. I don't know what they're doing. They're putting us in greater danger every minute of the day. You know, Hashem was working an amazing script on him. It was like to be in this script for so many years, 130 years. It's how he was able to do it. All the tzaddikim who reflect on Yaakov's life, they say, I don't know how he did it. That's what they say. We don't know how he did it. So it's, just like and more than that, Yaakov, by going through what he went through, He enabled people to go through Holocausts with their Amunah.
And David, for example, to suffer.
And David? What?
And David to suffer based on Yaakov's...
Based on him, too. I mean, David suffered a lot, too. I mean, he's a good challenge, runner-up. Runner-up for Yaakov.
But he had someone to look back.
You know, that's right. He already was going back 12 generations back to Yaakov. He had a Masorah already. That's what Reb Chaim... Reb Chaim of Elushin says, we say, what's the big deal? Avram passed the 10 tests. Big deal. He's willing to sacrifice his life. Jews do it all the time. The only reason they could do it is because Avram implanted it in us, that ability to do that. So for Yaakov to live with suffering, that was a chiddush that nobody else went through. Okay. Now we come to a much more challenging reason. Hatovas HaKadosh Baruch Hu lemala mehasogas hanivroim. The goodness of Hashem is beyond what a human being can comprehend. Anu omrim b'mizmer shel yom haShabbos, ma'godlu ma'asecha Hashem ma'od omku ma'achshav secha ishbar lo yeda uchasil levinasos. We say on Shabbos, the Mizmor for the day of Shabbos, how great are your actions, Hashem. Very, very deep are your thoughts. A foolish person will not understand it. An unwise person won't understand all this. In other words, God's ways won't be understood by people who are not clever. Nita and Mashalov, let's give an example. Avaleinu lahaktim v'lomer sha'anim shol harba yosar omik ma'mashal. I want to preface that the reality is much more profound than the analogy. Tinoik ben shana nimtza b'metbach. A one-year-old baby, your grandchild, is in the kitchen. Hu nigash l'ar, and he comes to the cabinet. Motz mishong bakbuk okonomiko. He finds a container of detergent. In other words, poison. He's trying to get his hand into the spout to get a little bit of that nice blue, very pretty, colorful liquid. Looks so nice. He wants to get his hands into the spout and put it to his mouth as all one-year-olds assimilate their world through their mouths. Right. And he found a nice toy. For Aviv Sharoizos, and the father sees this, Ratz I love Bechuvsa, father runs very quickly. He grabs the bottle out of the kid's hands before he has a chance, God forbid, to taste the contents inside. Reish Mem Gimel. So what happens? What's the natural reaction? Hatinag pirates bebechim. The child breaks out in tears. Vimu ben shnasayim, and if he's 2 years old, yivka ad imke nishmaso meluki chasadover. It's going to bother him to the depths of his soul. The fact that the father took this away. Ha'av shalokech es bakbuk ha'okonomiko borloch lechalutin shebemaisa zehu bolahetiv esmol. You ask the father who took the bottle of detergent away. To him it is absolutely 100% clear that this was an action of love and kindness to the child. There isn't a shred of doubt. Father doesn't have to second guess himself. Maybe I shouldn't have taken it, you know. He's going to be traumatized for life, that he's crying, and that, you know, I think we should take him to therapy and all these things, because, and I don't know, maybe it was a little hasty. Maybe I should have had a chance, let him have a little bit of fun with it. Not a doubt in his mind he did the right thing. And the kid, the little kid, says, what do you want from me? I understand, my father's so bad to me. I was very thirsty. Ima hasn't fed me for a couple hours. I was dying of thirst. Nobody was noticing me. And this nice blue color water, it looks like a Powerade that they drinks all the time. It's exactly the same. This is a big Powerade. Mativa shol achsersu, what's the nature of this cruelty? Shubiyom kaitz cham, we forgot to add, it was a hot, hot day, and the kid's throat's parched. They don't let me drink anything that's sweet. Petal, a little bit of, it's in Israel, the syrup drink, right? Petal. Lamalo, why not? Why is my father so bad to me? What did I do? I was a good boy. Right? Now, Hamashal Nira bin Yanenu Me'od Bor, the analogy seems to be very clear. Let's look a little deeper what lies buried in this analogy. And the difference between the point we're making now and to everything we've said until now. Ad ata, until now, on level one, dibarnu al hatova shebe'etzem hi bahasoga sa'ora machmas ha'kora shal ha'seichel el shechosh lo histaklus rechava machmas chayseyeda shal ha'pratim. Until now, what have we been dealing with? We've been dealing with a kindness that is essentially something that a person could comprehend based on his logic. Logically, putting the pieces together type of logic, you could make sense. What's missing is you don't have the broader vision to know the pieces of the puzzle that are missing. So we could say, okay, if you put all the pieces of the puzzle together, I can understand it. But when you're going to know the details, if God would tell me what was in the previous Gilgal, or you remind me of things that happened 20 years ago that I forgot, then I'll understand it. So on this first level, Nimsa comes out in Cain, Shahatova Misukza, this kind of a kindness. It can be understood by a human being. Elamachmas helam prati misuyam, but because of specific details that are hidden from us, you can't recognize it. But a person intellectually can understand sheyeshna mikrim bahem who lo makar separatim. He knows there are details he probably doesn't know. And just like in certain situations, when he does know the details, he does see the kindness. Even if he doesn't see the details, he understands logically that this will be a goodness if I only would know the missing information. So from that logic, that works. You see, this type logic one works to only a certain degree of suffering. Maybe if you lose some money, you could appreciate that. But when you see your kid's head blown off in front of your face, that logic isn't strong enough. You know, in other words, no matter what ends that you want, God, I don't see how this helps it any. You know, that's where, you know, depending on your level of tolerance of pain, to that degree, the first level will fall short. Because, you know, this, you know, that's, okay, you tell me I should suffer. Okay, I'll accept it. Poverty I could deal with. You want me to be sick, I could deal with. Even if I should die, I could deal with it. But to watch an innocent child get blown apart by a Nazi, that already, you know, I can't imagine any, even you told me all the details. There's no way I can understand that that's goodness. Right? That's where the first, and now the first explanation falls short, right? Because everything in the first analogy was saying, first way we're saying is it's logical. Okay, so logic, you know, falls short when you know the pain is so big. Now the muscle she's carrying out, and now with the analogy we just used, and we're on the second level. And the kuda harbe yoser amuka, the point is much deeper. Why? So let's think about this. Let's say now, back to the child with the poison. Now, in the first analogy, God says, listen, if I just had a few minutes in the next world to explain things to you, everything would be clear. Okay? That's what's missing. A little explanation. But here, with the father in the analogy, let's say the father spends time trying to explain to the child why he did what he did. 3 days and nights in a row, he explains. He explains to the little child all the physical dangers that are fraught with drinking this detergent. He starts explaining, you know what the chemical structure of detergent is. I don't know. It's chloride, right? Cl, whatever it is. I say, you know, if you take Cl, this and that, and you put it in an equation, it goes on the board and starts explaining things, and you know, and now when it gets into the bloodstream, how that reacts to the heart and to the other, to the liver, all those things, and you mamish with the diagrams and everything, and the kid's looking like that. He's like, there's no hope that this kid, a year or two, is going to understand what's going on. No matter how much the father explains, I'm going to tell you why it was the best thing for you. His brain can't figure it out. Right? That's the analogy we always use, right? We always say, you know, let's say Einstein took away the detergent from his kid. Einstein gave the best equations in the world, right? So what's the distance between a 2-year-old's brain and Einstein's brain? What's the distance? This much? Right? So that's why the kid can't understand what Einstein does, right? Now, what's a bigger gap? The distance between the 2-year-old and Einstein's brain, or the difference between Einstein's brain and God's brain? Where's there a greater gap? Between the infinite brain, right? It means Einstein, compared to what God does, is less than a two-year-old. It's less than a two-year-old. So you even having the chutzpah to think it could be explained to you? You know, that's the part people kind of always forget, that little part. Right? Right? And that's such a... There's no way. So Habaya Khan, last paragraph on Reish Mem Gimel. The problem here, ain't a choser yeda or choser nesunim. It's not a question of a lack of information. So Habaya Shal Ramat Miskal, it's a question of level of competence. There's a big difference between what a father understands and between what a two-year-old is able to see and understand. Consequently, even if the father will invest lots of time to explain to the kid, enough to explain to him to understand it, and he explains all the ingredients of this detergent, what they're made out of. What the body parts of a person is made out of. Next page. And how the detergent will affect negatively the body. The kid still doesn't understand what he wants from you. He's only 2 years old. He keeps saying, I don't understand. You know, the father says, listen, this is why the kid says, so why do you hate me? Let's explain it again from the top. Blah 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 blah. After an hour, and that's why Abba took it away from you. So I don't understand. Can I have it tomorrow? You can't have it tomorrow. Oh, so you're never going to let me have it? Never. So you really hate me? No, I don't really hate you. And they go explain it again. The kid just can't. The bottom line: do I get it or not? No. Will I ever get it? Never. So you hate me. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. So Keshemevina, that's a nimshal. So if you understand what the real life analysis of this is, Mevinim Omek Godol Yoiser Beinin Atovish Albari Mono. We understand much deeper the concept of God doing good to us. Keshe Adam is born, I'll call over a person would really reflect on everything in this world. Shuba Bechinas Hatova. If everything is really an aspect of goodness, who may be to love Kefi Shehuroa Esadvarim. He sees the way he sees it. And that itself is a problem. L'dugma, for example. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan lo schum kesef nichbad. Hashem gives you a certain amount of money. Right? Shebo yachol ani liknos mechonis. That I'm able to buy a car. Right? You get an unexpected check for $30,000, whatever. And you say, you know, I'm going to buy a car with that. Hu chashasan, what does he think? Nesina zuhi vaday hatava. This $30,000 that Hashem, I know it's from Hashem, this is for sure good. Shekhen al yedeza yili kal yosel in somi mokam mokam. Because now it's easier for me to get to one place or another. Veshuv lo espol machavei rosh. I'm not going to have headaches, chveis, whatever. Right? So a person thinks that's good. So now what is the good in this? Even let's forget about the bad now. Let's talk about the good now. And what he's basically going to say is not only we can't understand the bad, we can't even understand the good that God does. That's what he's saying now. He's saying, and when good comes, you think you really understand the good? Just like there's such profoundness in God's suffering that he gives us. It's so profound that the good is good, that the bad is good, rather. And we're not capable of understanding how the bad is good. We don't know how the chloride and the body react in a negative way. We don't understand how what God is doing to us is such a good thing. But even when Hashem does good, we're so far removed from understanding what the good is. We have no idea what the good is. The only thing is it doesn't happen to grate against us. The good is I don't have to come out to other people. What are you talking about? It's a cold day today. I wouldn't have to walk in the cold. And now I've got the car and everything's wonderful. Who says that's the good that Hashem planned on giving you? Who says that's the reason why God gave you the car at all? You know, maybe, again, if God was sitting behind the wheel here, he'd say, you know what, you don't do a lot of chesed. And you know what, there's a very poor person who's going to need a ride from you. And 2 gilgals ago, you know, you were very unkind to a certain person, and it was so bad what you did. You need a major tikkun, and the major tikkun is you have to give a perfect stranger to you a ride, and that ride will be your tikkun, right? And you're paying back something from a different Gilgal, and that's the whole reason I gave you the car. And now the guy figures the reason he gave me the car was I can go to shul easily. And then when a guy asks him for a ride, he doesn't give him a ride. Right? How do you know? The whole reason Sammy has a car, the whole reason he had the car was to give me a lift this morning. That was it. To give the rabbi a chesed. You know, could be maybe in a previous Gilgal, he didn't, his different version didn't respect the rabbi enough. And because of that, he's missing. So now he says, oh, see, 5:45, I picked up the rabbi. So maybe that could be the whole reason you own that car. That could be. Right? So in other words, when a good thing happens, we don't even understand what the good in good is. Right? You know, it's like, you know, oh yeah, I should win the lottery. You know, I'm already up to the point where I don't go into lotteries. I don't even ask Hashem to win the lottery. Why? Because it's not a good thing. Anything you know, the rabbis say, the test of wealth is worse than the test of poverty. Chazal say that, right? And if you believe what they say, why in the world would you want to be wealthy? Poor we don't like, right? And if wealth is worse, so what do you want it for? No. Hashem, you don't understand. Listen, if you gave me the money, I would deal with this goodness. That's not a goodness. If Chazal say that this test of wealth is harder than the test of poverty. So people always come to me when there's problems. I lost my job, this and that. What should I do? Nobody comes to me. I'm doing fantastically well off. What should I do? It's a terrible nesayon. How do I get through this? Not once. Nobody came to me. You know, Hashem's blessed me so well. I made $1 million this year. I need guidance. I need guidance. Chas v'shalom, I'm in a big sakona. The rabbis say it's a bigger test. And I don't even know it's a test. I think this is great. So that shows you don't understand what a hatov is. You think this is good. The rabbis say it's not good. Because the wealth is very liable to take you away from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And you're going to become a big Baal Gaiva, etc., etc. Give me a tikkun. Rabbi, help me that I don't become arrogant. I'm afraid I'm going to become so arrogant with all my money now. You know, we don't even look at it, and we keep looking. I already give it. I ain't playing the lottery anymore. You know, my kid wants a bingo ticket once in a while. Okay, big deal. We won't be that rich. What's the worst that can happen? We'll make $50,000. That ain't any money anymore. That won't even pay a year's worth of tuition in this house. So what does that do? What will I get? So the schools will get some money. So it's a tzedakah. Okay. So take the lottery, and I'm able to give them. But I ain't gonna see anything out of it, right? It's like the Yitzchayim lottery. First prize, free tuition for a year. Thanks a lot. You know, you have 5 kids in the school, you're already not paying close to half your tuitions, so the school will get the money back. Okay, good. You can play that lottery. You can buy such a ticket. We don't understand. We're saying, no, what are you talking about? It's so good to win it. It's not good to win it. When the good happens, we don't even know what the good is. Right? Why? Because we don't have the ability to understand what's going on at all. So we have to trust what Chazal tell us to understand the reality. Without that, we wouldn't understand this. So kol advarim alalu emes. All this is true, he says. U'me'anakudas alalu acheniten lizkarev l'kodesh baruch hu be'emes. And with these points, if we understood these 2 points, we could get closer to Hashem. Achalenu ladash shemunechas kan nakuda harbe yoser gavo. We need to know that there's a much higher point. When Hashem gives something to a person who knows saying, good or bad, who knows saying, if he's stuck with Shalabore, he gives it based on God's view. Lo, he's stuck with Shalnivra, not based on a created being's view. And the best we can ever view it is as a created being. And we can't look at it with the real picture, no matter what. Whatever category of kindness that Hashem bestows upon a created being, that's a reality that no creature can begin to comprehend. We have no grasp on the godly intent that lies behind every benevolent giving that he does. And even what we think is good, we really don't understand how good it is at all. Right? We don't understand how good it is. If we understood, is it good to have children or not? Is it good or not? First of all, a lot of people think it's not good. Most people, they think it's not good because they don't have kids. Okay, so now we go to the minority of people who think it is good. What's so good about it? Do we really understand the hatava that Hashem gave us? So how does our human, feeble human mind say, you have kids, right? People don't have kids. From people don't have kids. They're extremely sad. It's the worst thing out of kids. Oh, if I had kids, everything would be good. It will be so good. It will be so good. How do you as a human being understand having a kid is good? Oh, kids, what do you mean? There's going to be something to perpetuate my existence. That's a very good thing. It's going to be someone to get nachas from. That's going to be a good thing. Right? But if we understood the real tov of our children, we'd raise our kids much differently than we do. Much differently than most of us do. Right? If you really understood the tov of your child, what would you teach them more? Torah or secular knowledge? Right? If you really understood the hatava of a child, would you waste time having them be in a high school to learn secular material? If you really understood the hatava, I'm talking really understanding it, not just the way we understand it. What it means, what it brings to bring an ambassador of God into the world. That's a hatava, to bring an ambassador of God into the world, to bring more spirituality into the world. Right? You'd be pushing, you'd be davening, oh, it could be a person who could learn Torah all day and all night. That'd be your goal. And if chas v'shalom didn't happen, okay, Mela, we'll let him go into the secular world. Mela, he'll get a job. Right? Wouldn't have a TV in our house, for sure not. For sure wouldn't have a TV in our house, right? Wouldn't have all this stuff. If we really understood the goodness of having a child. But no, it's oh, I have a child. Oh, I have a child. You make all the decisions too, eh? Then you don't understand what the gift you got. You don't understand. We can't begin to fathom what it means to have a kid properly. And when Chazal gives us the halachas on raising children, because they understood a little more than we understood what the hatov of having a child is. But we figure hatov is, it's like another commodity. It's another asset that I was given. It's a nicer asset than the other assets. So I'll just make this, you know. The first thing, if you understood that Tava, you would never say, I'm going to make the decisions about my child. It would be the first thing you wouldn't ever say. If you understood the gift that God gave you, the first thing you say, whatever the rabbis tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do with my kid. So who understood such a Tava? Chana understood such a Tava. Chana understood. And she said, if I have a kid, she's going right to the base of Mikdash. He's going to be a Levi. That's where he belongs, not in my house. Because it's God's kids. That's why Abraham's work. But we can't think that way. We weren't programmed to think that way. We were programmed to think, I'm a human being, I make my own human decisions. So the Torah says, first thing not to trust, don't ever trust your own brain. If we can get that thing clear, that your brain, you know, until it's filled with so much Torah wisdom, when it's filled with enough godly wisdom, at least, even if you don't understand the depths of the goodness, but you understand how you have to deal with the goodness, as God tells you, even if I don't understand it, at least you'll do the right thing for your kid. Even though you won't understand why you're doing it. And when you go through the halachas of chinuch habonim, and there's halachas in Shulchan Aruch of raising children. The halachas are, these are the rules. I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. God gave you the rules because he understood it. Like every other mitzvah in the Torah, we think we understand any mitzvah, we don't understand anything. Hashem says, just do it. You know, try to understand to the best of your level. But if you don't understand it, you're still going to do it the way I told you to do it. Because that will explain you understand the real hatovah. I don't mean to criticize anybody, and I'm not even criticizing myself, because we all are very far away from this. But we, you know, certainly we just accept, you know, if every goy watches TV, what do you mean? We watch TV too. What's the difference? Every goy loves watching sports. We love watching sports. You understand? You don't understand what it means to have a kid. You understand? So that's the problem. So even what's good for us, we don't understand the depths of the goodness of it. When Hashem gives it, just like when the father gives the kid an orange, which is good for a kid, the kid doesn't understand how good it is. A father gives a child, a one-year-old, an orange. Oh, the kid thinks, oh, yeah, Abba's so good. It's so sweet. Until he gives him chocolate, then he'll never want an orange again. It's so sweet. Kid can't even begin. Start explaining to him what vitamins are. If the kid would understand, the father's not giving him something that tastes good. The father's giving him life. Do you understand? The father's giving him life. Without the orange, he's dead. The kid can't even begin to understand what it means to be alive or being dead. He has no hasagas of that. Well, there's one thing. He gave me something that's sweet. Sweet is sweet. If I got a sweet thing, he's a sweet dad. Right? So, of course. So, if you don't even understand the goodness that he does for you, you don't understand when he gives you an orange, the depths. You thank your father. Thank you for a sweet candy. Right? You don't say, thank you for saving my life. So, how are you going to be able to thank him when he takes the detergent away from you? Even the good you don't understand. So how can you understand the bad? Right? So it's the same thing. So Hashem gives you a parnasa and Hashem gives you this. We can't even begin to understand how good that is. We think it's good because I can relax. And if anything, that's for sure not a good thing. Adam lamo yulad. A man's created to toil, not to relax. The good lies in other things that are well beyond what we can understand. The good lies in the fact that I have money to do mitzvahs. Whatever the good really is. So now, if we can't even appreciate the good, you think we're going to be able to appreciate the bad? So it's totally out of our league. It's out of our league. So forget it. You can't even begin to understand it. But be smart enough to know it's out of your league. And that already can give you an understanding, you know what? That maybe Hashem really does love me. Yeah, Shelley, thank you for being so patient.
Okay, so I can understand that me and a lot of us maybe can't grasp this concept that suffering is all kindness and good. But what I don't understand is, when we do the Yom Kippur davening and the, I don't know who put it together, but the matzvot, the rabbis, whatever, put that together,
yep.
I'm sure they have divine assistance. And
yep.
We say things like, we list all these calamities, go by like fire, by water, or starvation, etc. And then we say, what is it, tzedakah and tshuva and tefillah will avert the evil decree. I mean, this is referred to as an evil decree. Not something that we're praying to happen, but something we want to avoid. So they can't look at it as a kindness and a good thing. How can we?
Okay, the fact that the rabbis call certain things evil decrees are only being said from our perspective. It's being called from our perspective. As human beings, don't put us in situations where you're taking the detergent away from us. You know, in other words, we look at it as evil. And indeed, most people do. Most people live. The fact that so few people understand the goodness that lies in it, so everyone looks at it as something that's bad. I will perceive it as bad, as a bad decree. It's a decree of bringing bad things upon me, right? I perceive it as a bad thing.
And we should walk into kindness.
I understand, but the masses don't see it as a kindness, and the masses are the ones who are davening every day, right? The masses are the ones that are struggling with this idea, right? And the truth is, it would be a lot better if Hashem wouldn't have had to go through this recourse. You know, it's like you're saying, Dad, try to help me that I stop smoking, so the evil decree of having surgery will not have to happen. Even though at that time surgery is the best thing, but who wants to go through it? Isn't there a better way to go through it? If I have a chance to not have a surgery, give me the strength to have the willpower to not smoke, so that I won't have the evil decree of lung surgery, of treatment on cancer.
You don't see the contradiction.
Right? It's not a contradiction because it's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. When they use the term evil, it's not meant in the inherent stage. Listen, you don't have to go to the Machzor. It's in the Navi, taking a Yotze Oravore Choshech, Oseh Shalom Vrezakol. In the Navi, it's a little different wording. God does the good and does the bad. So the first people in the Tefillah says, we've got to take it out. People aren't going to understand it. But he does what we perceive Every time it says the word, Kishem Shem Mavarchan Al, Gemara. Kishem Shem Mavarchan Al Tov, Mavarchan Al Ra. Every, just like you make a bracha on the good, you make a bracha on the bad. How could they say that? What's the answer? On our perceptions. If we perceive it, just like when we perceive it to be good, we have to make a bracha on it. When we perceive it to be bad, we have to make a bracha on it. It's our perceptions. There is the superficial reality is it looks bad. And the truth is, you know, if we were better, these things would not have to happen. If we were better. If the kid wasn't playing with the detergent, the father wouldn't have to take it away. Right? And then it wouldn't have to be. The kid knows one thing. The kid, from the kid's perspective, taking away the detergent was good or bad? Ask the kid. Interview the kid. Bad. And can he understand it any different?
No.
So that's the way we're saying it in the davening.
You can also say if the kid got the detergent and poisoned himself and died, it was good. So you're trying to...
No.
Both sides the same
no, you're not. You're not. We're looking at from the human perspective versus the godly perspective.
If that happens, it was good.
Correct. In God's eyes, but in human eyes, we won't be able to see it that way. We are forever the child who can't see beyond the detergent. And the Chazal understood that people, you know, they're not going to listen to the rabbi's drushes. They're going to say, but at the end of the day, why did you take my wife away? And they can't get beyond it. And the rabbis in the Siddur understood that. And therefore, you know what? You don't want to have these situations. There's other good situations that might avoid what appear to be bad situations. You know, if you do tshuva, the father says, instead of tshuva tztaka tefila, so staying away from the detergent will take away the bad degree. The decree is if you drink the poison, you're going to die. If you do tshuva, you won't take away the bad decree. So that's what it means.